Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. We will hold our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to participate in that service. Please consult your bulletin for other activities this afternoon. In our 5 p.m. evening worship service, Pastor Otero will be teaching the series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today he will be speaking on the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, from the Song of Solomon. Wednesday evening we will gather here again at 7:30 p.m. for prayer and to continue our study in the theology of Bible doctrine. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. We will now be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. Let us begin our worship now with hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name. Continue our worship with hymn number 38, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Stand now as we sing hymn number 449, To God Be the Glory.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into the throne of grace by the mercy and the work of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed by the knowledge of Christ, and we are adapted to the day in which you move our hearts and mind and incline our will to believe in that wonderful Savior who gave his life on Calvary cross so that his people can enter into the kingdom of God. And Father, faithful to the command of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, where you tell us to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and you will be with us until the end. Father, how wonderful it is that we can fulfill that command and keep on teaching and preaching about Christ, teaching to those who do not know Christ the wonders of the salvation that he can bestow upon our life, challenging those who are not yet believers to become believers by your mercy and by your wonderful power. And then for us, O Father, believers, we challenge ourselves to follow you. I'm so grateful, Father, that we are saved not because of ourselves, but in spite of ourselves. And so, Father, how grateful we are that when we look upon the commandments as we do in this series of studies, we can see in the mirror of thy word how short we have come from the glory of God. But in spite of that, you and your love and in your mercy have reached our heart and inclined our mind to believe in you. And imperfect as we are, Father, we are grateful that our salvation doesn't depend on our perfection, but depends on Christ's perfection, who have died for ourselves and went up into heaven, and now sitting at the right hand of God, intercede for us. He came to this world, and because he suffered like a man, he understands us and he loves us. Oh, Father, thank you for that love who will keep on until the day of your coming. Father, we do have other ministries a part of ours. We pray for our radio ministry, our internet ministry, our tape ministry, our CD ministry, our women's ministry, our missionary ministry. And Father, it's so good to know that in other lands there are people who believe like us, and they are listening to people with great courage and who have left America and went to do the work of the gospel. We are reminded of Fred and Carol Lewis, as in 1 month they will depart for Siberia to teach the Russian people how to study the Bible and how to teach their own nationals. Father, thank you for the recovery on Carol, and thank you for having them this year with us. And now we pray that you protect them and that you care for their daughter who would be left here in America to study in college. Father, we pray for Carol and Ruth Knott as they visit churches in America after 14 years of ministry in Huasca, Spain. And Lord, they are returning to Spain at the end of this year to serve in Sevilla and start another ministry. Thank you, Father, for their enthusiasm in teaching the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the year and a half that Raquel has spent with Brother Knott, teaching him Spanish, the basics and the structure. And thank you, Lord, for Brother Knott, who learned so well and now is a writer in the Spanish language, books that people need to know for follow the doctrines of our living God. Lord, thank you for Eusebio and Maritza Perez, right in the heart of Spain and Benalmadena, a beautiful city on the Mediterranean, that they have the vision to start the church in Spanish and in English, and now they are looking forward to purchase a property in the middle of the city so that they will make a building to your glory and to your honor. Lord, thank you for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of darkness. Father, thank you for Ruben and Irene Zacher, who minister to the Spanish people in Lodi. Thank you, Lord, for Martha Poretti, who works with the drug addicts. And thank you, Lord, for one man that after 3 years is graduating from that place, clean and ready to work in and save and to enroll in their church as a member of the church. Thank you, Lord, that the years of work are not in vain. Father, thank you for Daniels and his chaplainship in the racing cars. And at the end of the coming week, he have 3 races to attend. And Father, we pray that he may assist those who need Christ Jesus and that he may preach with power so that those men who are on their car, they know that perhaps this is the last lap on their life here, but they can go up to heaven, and they can be forever in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord, for this sport ministry in San Jose. We are so glad that in the city of San Jose, we have an activity to reach the young people. Father, so much to do in such a short time. Thank you for allowing us to be part in the kingdom of God. And Lord, perhaps there are people in vacation in our church, and we pray that they too may have the opportunity to enjoy a refreshing time. And those who are sick, Lord, have your mercy upon their life. And Father, we pray for the Whitmire family as they're going to leave us soon and make their way into Eureka. Lord, bring them into a leading church that preach the gospel. Protect them. Put your umbrella upon Carol and upon Robert. And we thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to this church and for the years that Carol and Robert faithfully attend this church and serve you here. Thank you, Lord, because they were an encouragement to me personally. And we pray that you will protect them and guide them and that they will serve the Lord in Eureka too. Thank you, Father, for providing for us so abundantly. And so we pray that you bless the giver and bless the offerings. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Moses called Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 48. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your great salvation and come before you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given us the gift of faith, that we know with all assurance that the Bibles we hold in our hands are your very words, which cannot be altered or fail. We can only praise you and thank you for the mercy and grace you have extended to us, that we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to believe that every word in Scripture has or will be fulfilled. We pray for strength to keep your commandments, to overcome the sinful desires of the flesh by the Spirit. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless him and be his constant source of illumination as he studies and brings the truths of your word to us here and to those listening through the various electronic media. We pray for those who are yet in unbelief and don't know you, that they would come to believe and trust and obey the Lord Jesus and embrace him as Savior and Lord. We pray and ask these things in his name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, choir, for the rendition so beautiful that almost is just an explanation of our sermon this morning. We study and started, I want to say, the studies of the Ten Commandments, or Ten Words, as the book of Exodus explained, which are found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. And let me recall, the first commandment was, or has to do, with God himself. And they were in verse 2 and in verse 3. Who is God? Many people believe in God, but God center narrows down his name clearly as the name Jehovah, and as we study, we move from Jehovah to Christ. Anything else is no God, and it's clear in the commandments. The second commandment took verses 4 all the way to verse 6, and has to do with the adoration to this one God. Once you find God, then we need to worship him. And that's the commandment and the implications of the commandment. Now we come to the third commandment, which is in verse 7. And the third commandment has to do with God's character. And God's character is always expressed in his name. That's why we have so many names of God. I will read the commandment again, and we'll try to look through the Bible and see how we can understand the commandment, when we violate the commandment, and when we obey the commandment, to have a greater view of this short verse, verse 7, which is so important for us believers. God's word said in Exodus 20 and in verse 7, third commandment of the Lord, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God, and you notice the word Lord is in capital letters, so thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah, as we were instructed in verse 2, thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain. For the Lord, or Jehovah, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It's a serious matter. Actually, I would say it's life or death. This commandment put it very clearly, very simply, but very in a very emphatic way. Either you worship the name of God, or you're going to be punished for not doing so. Clearly like that. Now, first, let us see the meaning of such a commandment. What does God mean when he said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain? I think it's simply, God means this. God's name is very, very important. That name, Jehovah. And as you know, the Hebrew Bible have a substitute for the word Jehovah because the Hebrew people are very afraid to read in their Bible the name Jehovah. And so there is in the margin a substitute for that word so that they can respect God, because they always feel guilty of not respecting the name of God properly. That's how serious is the name of God. Now, why God's name is so important? Because in the Bible, the names given to God represent his character. That is why it's so important. And I'm going to look into some of them so that you get an idea and how important is this business of not taking the name of God in vain. Let's see some of the names. You know many of them, but let's refresh our mind with some of the names of God who represent the character of God. The first scripture that I want to refer to the name of God is in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 48 and verse 35. Actually, the very last verse, page 518, if you have a Bible like is in the pew. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 48, and verse 35, at the very, very end. And there is a name for God. In the English Bible, you have to put a lot of words, but I wish you read Hebrew. It's only one word package, and so we know it is a name. Let's read Ezekiel 48 and verse 35. The way around shall be 18,000 cubits, talking about the city of God, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. That's one word. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Then we can say, you should not take the name of God in vain because he is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Omnipresent. That's what Jehovah Shammah means. There is no place in our house, in our work, in our school, not in the whole universe, in heavens, in earth, and under earth, that God is not there. Jehovah Shammah. And we should not take the liberty of considering God very lightly because he's there. He's there. Even though we may do things that people do not see, God sees it. Because he is there. Now that's the kind of God that we have. Jehovah Shammah. And so the Bible emphasizes that you should not take the name of God in vain because you cannot get away with that because he is there. Right where you are, driving your car,
riding your bicycle, or whatever you are doing in your school, in your work, or sitting around the house, or doing something, God is there. It works both ways, you know. God sees what we do, and at the same time, we can ask Him anything in any moment of our life because God is there. God is there. Let me take you to another passage that is very meaningful to me in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. It's on page 13 in the Bible, Genesis 22 and verse 14. And I'm going to make just a remark here for the letters and emails that I received that, yes, we do send Bibles free of charge to anybody who requested our pew Bible. And there are a few people who requested and they have sent offerings and thanks us. We don't charge a penny. We pay even the postage for you. And we love you to have the King James Bible that we use here in our church. And we are grateful for those listeners in the internet and in the radio ministry and the day ministry that they want to follow me because they said I'm too fast on the scripture. And I hope that this will help them to get familiar with the scripture. Genesis 22 and verse 14. Here's another name for God. And Abraham, and you know, you remember Genesis 22, Abraham is going to be tested. And he need to offer his only son to God. And here is the verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. What is the name of God? Jehovah Jireh. Now, why is that name? Means God the provider. God the provider. And this is remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Because if you turn your Bible to the New Testament, put one hand there and go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, we have a confirmation of the provision of God in the name of the God that we learn that Jehovah is the Lord Jesus. And here is another proof that that is a remarkable matching between the two names. In Philippians 4 and in verse 19, we read, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." By whom? By Christ Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. You should not take the name of God in vain because he is the provider. The works you have, the life you have, the family you have, the activities you do, the enjoyment, anything you have is God's provision to your life. Don't take for granted anything that we have, little or much. Whatever we have is the provision of God. It's not fantastic that we, the believers, can acknowledge that. When we were unbelievers, we thought that we made it. When we were unbelievers, we thought that I have to make that so I can get that. But now as a believer, we're still working hard. We're still doing the work that we did before. But that with the great peace of heart that God is going to provide for me. Remarkable. Remarkable. Some people said there is tough times in America. I heard that from the time I came in 1965. They are tough times. People get laid off. People get this and people get the other. And I get laid off too. But I tell you, God is the provider. Has a reason behind. I remember the first time that I get laid off as an engineer. I was working for a private company in 1968, just prior to my seminary. I just applied to the seminary. And these boss of mine, we get our head crossed. And I guess I disobeyed him. I don't want to do the project the way he wanted. He said, "I don't need you anymore." I said, "Well, that's fine." And so I walk away. And so I went to the president of the company and I said, "Well, I want to say hello to you because I'm leaving." "Oh, yeah." I said, "Yeah. And I want to offer my strategic thing, how you build things to my neighbor, to your neighbor." And he said, no, wait a minute. So he talked to my boss, and he put me as a chief engineer on the shop. He said, we don't want you to tell the others what we do here. But I was ready to go. I picked up my books. I was ready to put everything in the car. I was laid off. But God, I always have peace of mind that if I do what God wants to, he is the provider. And believe me, there is, you know, doesn't matter if the president is Republican or the president is Democratic. Doesn't matter who is there in the White House. God is the provider. And when you have that focus in your mind, the God is the provider, what a peace of mind you have. You work for the Lord Jesus and you do your best and God take care of you. So be careful with the name of God because he is the provider. I want to take you to another scripture in the book of Judges, in chapter 6 and in verse 24, at page 162. Judges, chapter 6, in verse 24. A man that is mentioned over there is very familiar to you, Gideon. And the Bible says, so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it that Jehovah Shalom to this day. It is still an Ophrah of the Abizarites. Jehovah Shalom, you know what the meaning is. Means Jehovah is our peace. Jehovah is our peace. Now, reminds me of a scripture in the New Testament. You can cross-reference with John 14 and verse 27. And you will see that within that particular reference, the Bible goes all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament, keep on saying Jehovah Shalom. And in John 14, 27, we have the reference who said, Jesus is speaking and says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Of course, he was talking to them about his departure, and they were scared to death. And I tell you, Jesus said, don't worry. I am your peace, and I will be your peace forever. And so the name of God related in the Bible here is Jehovah Shalom. I'm your peace. It's not anything else in this world your peace. I'm your peace. Your peace with God is Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is not the church, of course. It is not your pastor. It is not any individual. Your peace with God depends exclusively and only in God and in the person of Christ Jesus. And so the commandment is very serious. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. And when we get to know what that name of God is, then we said, wait a minute. I will not want to offend God by getting worried for my provision because God is my provider. I will not offend God by trying to do things in my own thinking that God is not watching me because he is omnipresent. I will not get really worried about a matter even though we get concerned, like the sickness of my daughter or in your family, because God is the one who's going to bring peace through every situation of life. God is our peace. And so the character of God is holy. 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 Remember in Isaiah 6:1, God is holy. 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 And he's in serious business about his name. He's in serious business about his reputation. He's present with us. He is our provider. He is our peace. And therefore, let us not play with the name of God, because if we do so, that is speak of a heart that is very weak and have no idea of God. Let me show you something. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, page 398. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, page and 98. Here's what the Bible says. Here's a great secret for you to know. It is a secret that wakes me up and wakes all of us up. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. When people speak and say things, is much more deeper than those words. The heart speaks. So if we care less about the name of God, then the heart speaks. What's in the heart? When I was working in a secular world, I hear many, many, many times the name of Jesus in vain. We were not having computers at that time, and we have to use the slide rule calculators. So I'm talking about at the beginning, maybe on the 60s. And I had the difficult job of checking the manufacturer drawings before going into manufacture. And red marks were done, and so the drawings were rejected and need to be done again. And then in order to for the other engineer to understand what I marked, they need to chat with me, and I show them that this machine will not produce in this way. We had to cut it in this way and the other. And from time to time, they will look to me and say the name of Jesus in vain. Well, so we put, and they will say the name of Jesus, and we put that mark again. And so our rules is you do it all over again. It, for that thing, and they will say the name of Jesus again. And that speaks of a man who doesn't know Christ. And is adding, to his sin, to his sin nature, the sin of disregard the name of God. So when we speak to unbelievers, we need to have a great love for them and be very careful, because if they disrespect the name of God, that's a terrible thing, sin in the name of God. Do not take very lightly the name of God. You know, when I came to this country, one of the things that I don't like it was that rather than calling me Gabriel, they called me Gabe. And so I don't know that. The people short your name and chuck your name in pieces. And so I was saying, hey, Gabe. And I don't know, is it maybe Gabe is another name. And I was talking to you. So my name's Gabriel. So we call it Gabe. Why? My father would be very, very upset about it. And they thought I was joking. I wasn't no joking. You know, so I think that kind of tradition goes into God. And they very lightly take the name of God like it's, you know, something. The name of God is heavy. The name of God is the life that we have. Don't try to shorten. Now, we know the meaning. A great respect for the character of God. Now, let us see how we disobey such a commandment. How does anyone violate this commandment about taking the name of God in vain? Number one, when we use the name of God disrespectfully. Disrespect to the name of God is the using the name of God without believing in him. We Christians have to be very careful. Very quickly, some people say, I pray for that. Really? Do you want to pray believing or not? Because if you are not going to pray and pray believing or not, this command is violated. Very seldom that happened to you. But when I was in radio, calls will come in for counseling. And people will say, will you pray for me? And if I say yes, when I hang up, I pray. Because I know I'm going to forget. Because I don't going to be in violation of the name of God. I cannot say very lightly something that I will not fulfill. And so to take the name of God disrespectfully is to take the name of God not believing what God really is. That's number one. Number two, when we use the name of God in a playful manner. We laugh about Bible stories or the people of the Bible. I don't know anyone, thank God, but the people play with the name Joshua. I don't know. They have hundreds of stories in the Bible, and they joke about it. You know, that's serious matter. They say, well, you know, they got rhythmic words and all kinds of jokes about the Bible in a very innocent way and in a very light way. They don't mean bad, but they do it. That's, again, a violation of this commandment. It's taking the Bible very lightly. It's teaching our children that, after all, the Bible maybe is a comedy book. It's not the serious book that the Hebrew people thought was the Bible, the very Word of God. And then we violate this commandment when we are hypocrites, Christians. Now, what kind of hypocrisy Christians have? Well, it's believing without obedience. Let me show you in 1 Samuel chapter 15, page 188, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and verse 22, page 188. Believing without obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and in verse 22, we read, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord, Jehovah, as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" And look at the counsel of God. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And so we disobey the commandment when we say, yes, I believe that, and we disobey the commandment, and we are guilty of that. I'm not relieving myself from that. We have to be careful that when we say we believe this, we need to follow through. When we worship God as a way of liturgy, but it had no meaning to me, that really is violation of the commandment. I hear a lot of people say that. I go to church and we have a great worship service. This morning we have a splendor choir, and I almost raised from my chair in glory because the choir was just developing my sermon as they sing. And that's the only thing I have, but I walk away from here and say, oh, that was nice. And nothing is staying in my kukutsa, in my head, then I tell you, something is wrong with me, and I was in violation of the commandment. Because I need to be a man who hear and obey. And we need to practice that. And so we need to be very careful not to disobey these commandments. We do not hear too many sermons or too many counsels about that. And I have a wife who is very jealous of these commandments. And I may be saying at the dinner table something lightly, and she will point to me. That's wrong. And seriously, I'm glad for that. I'm glad, because we cannot take the name of God in vain. Now, thirdly, let us see how we can obey such a commandment. May I take you to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, page 694. Colossians, chapter 2, at verse 9 and 10. And let's develop how we can over and over and over obey this commandment of respecting the name of God. We read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, in a remarkable description of Christ. "For in him," in Christ, "dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." See, all God's attributes are embedded in Christ Jesus. All God's attributes are embedded in Christ Jesus. And when you say Jesus is God, you are obeying this commandment. You are honoring God. That's why we cannot take very lightly those people who say, well, Jesus is the Son, but he is not God. That is serious business. Those people are not believers. I guess the Mormons say that, the Jehovah Witness say that, and they say it with dogmatic affirmation, which remarkably makes them go to hell. You cannot take lightly the character and attributes of the Lord Jesus and not assign him the power to be God on this earth and now back into heaven. And so Colossians 2 verse 9 and 10 describe for us how we can be obedient to the commandment. When we really deep in our heart believe that the Savior that died for me was God himself, because nothing else could die, then we are in obedience to this commandment. Now I need to test if that's right or wrong. Now remember what we studied at the beginning, God is omnipresent. Is Christ omnipresent? All right, let's see that how Christ is omnipresent. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 in page 710. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, page 710. God is omnipresent and so is Christ. We read in verse 5 in Hebrews chapter 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, no, forsake thee. There is no moment in your life and in my life that Christ will not be in me. In Colossians 1:27, we read, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Christ in you, if you are really a believer, if God have really penetrated your life, if God have really saved you, he will never leave you. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how much you sin. God take care in a different way on that. But with respect to his presence and with respect to his salvation, he's loyal to himself. And his work is complete. He is in you. So Christ is omnipresent as well as God is omnipresent. Also, God is the good shepherd. And so Christ. Let me show you. Let's go to Psalm 23. In page 350 in your Bible, Psalm 23, and we look into this and we see the Christ, the God is our shepherd. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jehovah is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible certainly presented to us that Christ is my shepherd. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, page 714. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. For ye are sheep going astray, but now I return unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Now, who is that shepherd and bishop of your soul? Turn your Bible to Hebrews 13 and verse 20, page 710. Hebrews 13 and now in verse 20, and you know who is the shepherd of your soul. The Bible said in Hebrews 13 and in verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Who is the great shepherd? The Lord Jesus. Not only a shepherd, the great shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, making a distinction between the shepherd who is a pastor to you and the key shepherd who is the greatest of all. I'm so glad that in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 1 to 4, it is a description of the work of a pastor, the work of a shepherd. And that work of the shepherd is placed in the Bible, not temporarily, but until a given time. And the Bible says, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, and they give you all the assignments to the shepherd, what you need to do for your people. And when do you lose your job, shepherd? When will be the day where there is no more shepherds in the church? Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you see it? Praise God. My job will be here as long as I have life. Because the end of my career will be when the great shepherd comes in the cloud and take his people away. What a great scripture that bring peace and joy into your life. So God the Father lives eternally in the person of the Son. Therefore, if we respect Christ, we respect God. And I brought this to your attention because in the Old Testament, the respect was to God the Father through the ceremonial law. They did not have Christ available. They had a ceremonial law that was pointing to Christ. Now, what about ourselves that we are the other side of the cross? Well, God gave us Christ, who is God. And as we respect Christ and as we honor Christ, we do not take the name of God in vain. How wonderful. How wonderful. God demands that his authority and his person be respected. How wonderful, how wonderful. In the Old Testament, there was a remarkable ceremonial liturgy that represented the glory of God. And in the New Testament, just one person alone, represent the glory of God. That's why we don't need images of saints to glorify. We need to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. When we glorify a saint, we are really in violation of this commandment. The only person that need to be glorified is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the glory of God. He's the splendor of God. And if we honor him and no of anybody else, then we do not take the name of God in vain. Not too long ago, about a week ago, Italy canonized a saint. I call Italy. The deacons will see the bill. But I call Italy. And an Italian trying to talk to the Vatican. And a cardinal took my call. And he said, you are concerned for your voice and the Italian is not so good. He said, but I understand. What's your problem? I said, my problem is that you are in violation of the third commandment. The only saint that needs to be glorified is the Lord Jesus because he's perfect. He said, well, this man has done this and this and this. Yeah, I know, I know. I know Antonio Ponzietto Lapinato. I know him. I know his story. But he's no Christ. He said, well, we have a lot of people who are no Christ. Well, then they're wrong. Are we going to change it? And the man said, are you Luther or what? And he hung up. See, don't do that. Don't do that. Reason. Reason with God. Isaiah 1:18 said, come and reason with me. Use your kukuza. God give your mind for something. Reason. God said, I want to be glorified. I want to be number one. My name is above all. Why are we going to take somebody else? Why? Unless we're unbelievers. If you're an unbeliever, you take somebody else's name. But if you are a believer, you take the name of Christ. So I package the sermon for you now in one verse. In Hebrews chapter 12, and in verse 1, and in verse 2, page 709. This is the conclusion, just in one verse, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great cloud of witness, let us aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. How, Lord? How do you want us to run the race? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My brother and my sister, do not panic about this command. Look to Jesus, serve him, glorify him in your life. And you have fulfilled the commandment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you have given us clear indication in your word that as we follow Jesus, we fulfill a life dream of being with you forevermore. Lord, have mercy on those who believe not yet. Have mercy on those who follow liturgy and who follow man's creation and worshiping you. And let them put away that sin and follow Jesus, our Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. The bells from the cathedral. Now let us stand. All right. Lord, we praise your name. We ask forgiveness for the moments in our life where we took your name with not the care that we should. Forgive us. Strengthen our life that we may take this commandment to heart and that we may follow it cautiously, so that we are not in violation of the splendor of God. Thank you for your word. As the book of James said, it's a mirror to our heart. Bless us, guide us, and cause us with a humble heart to obey it. In Jesus we pray. Amen.